In brightest day,
in blackest night.
Spider-Man.
I'm the best there is at what I do. What I do best isn't very nice.
The Comic Culture Radio Show. Chris Owen, Walter DeRiley.
Excelsior!
Crush your enemies. See them driven before you. They hear the lamentation of the women.
Yes, and welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show, the champions, the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Slurpee. Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your Kickstarter.
Slurping our way to try to get new listeners all the time. Well, yeah. Glad to have you back.
How did I do, Chris?
It's okay. You know,
you did great.
You did great. Yeah.
Thank you.
I think I should stick with the intro for the next little
after
while.
That, Chris, you got it for the next 2 months, bro. That was bad. Woo.
Good job. No, you
know, it's on a good footing.
It's a valiant effort.
Pretty well, people know the quality of the show from here on
yeah,
in.
That's right.
Based on that intro right there.
All right. That's good. That's good. Listen, and of course, we must introduce young Shecky Feldstein here to my left, who is our producer and the engineer, of course, as always, to my right, Mr. Young Buck, Andrew Roebuck. Shecky, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well, Chris. I'm back from the grind in Toronto. Just I stole a night to make sure I was here with you guys, making sure that Slurpee doesn't run astray.
Basically, he listened to last week.
Pretty
show,
much, I don't get paid anyway. And if he drools all over the microphones and it shorts out, we don't have the money to buy a new one.
That is true. That is true. Well, listen, great to have you back. I know you're very busy with Toronto with all your stuff going on right now.
Yeah, the show's right in the middle of it. Yeah,
but we are great. We are great.
We're glad
to have you back.
Well, glad to be here.
All right, and listen, we are here to talk about comic books as we do every week.
Mm-hmm.
We are here to champion the local comic book shop,
Chris. That's what we do.
That is what we do.
Champion. The local comic.
Yes, absolutely. So let's start right in with new this week.
Yes, and Shecky, doing his finest for you here, has a sponsor already, guys.
You're a good man.
Yeah, new this week, brought to you by the upcoming DC's New Superheroes Pet Feature Month, where it's all about the animals. These even feature fur covers that smell like the pets.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I guess it went from 3D villains to pets with furries on them.
I can't wait for the gorilla issue. Gorilla Grodd.
Gorilla.
Yeah.
Hey, that's in reference to the Villains Month.
Yeah,
that's good writing right there. That is good writing.
I like how it took you a little while to get that.
Right.
Oh, right, the Villains Month.
Because
they all have the special shiny covers.
Right,
I guess the new trend is all fur covers now.
Then
you save up a few of those, and then you start getting raccoons breaking into your house.
Because it starts smelling like a nest. I wonder if you could, if you got enough of those covers, if you could, sew them together and make an outfit out of them.
Like a loincloth?
Yeah, well, I was thinking more of see my vest.
Like a smoking jacket.
Just in time for Halloween.
Yes. All right.
All right.
We do have to talk about new comics. That's what we're here for.
There we are.
So let's get right to the point.
People tune in for our opinions on these things.
Believe it or not. All right. Let's get right to the point here. And I want to talk about Marvel and Hawkeye. Now, of course, they're up to issue number 13 by Matt Fraction and David Adja. And, of course, with colors by
Adja.
Matt Hollingsworth. Now, this is a funny book.
It is.
I've talked about it before.
I read it and I laughed.
It's not that kind of funny.
Okay.
It's not a funny
high. I haven't read it.
It's just, I know. Have you read a comic at all?
I have, but not that one.
Okay, all right. It's a funny book. It's a great book. This book is all about, it's kind of like what Hawkeye does when he's not participating with the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like his own kind of thing going on, and he's usually not even in superhero outfit kind of thing. He's usually just in a t-shirt and jeans.
Right.
And the current storyline, I don't want to give too much of it away, but it's funny. The current storyline, this is how good Matt Fraction is. He's he has the storyline going, and every issue is being told by a different person's point of view. It's the same story, but different point of view. So you already know what's going to happen, but now you get to see it from a certain character's point of view.
Right.
And it's
right.
that good that yeah. it's still intriguing to you. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing. There's no new information, but that's how good it is.
Okay, I get it. Right. So how many different people are telling the story, though?
You know what? We don't know yet because right, it's not done yet. So I don't. It's been a couple different people. Like, you know, for example, Black Widow has been in it. Spider-Woman has been in it. So, you know, I don't want to give too much away. But so far, those are some of the characters that have been in it.
Got it. All right. That is Hawkeye. What number?
13. All right.
And that is available
at your local comic book shop
today.
Yes.
Awesome.
All right. Next up, I have Justice League of America number 8. Now, this is continuing on with the Forever Evil storyline.
Forever Evil.
Now, if you weren't here last week when we talked about Forever Evil, Forever Evil, so basically it's on the heels of the Villains Month. All these, it's basically the villains are taking over now in this month. So all the books tie into this storyline called Forever Evil. And in the current Justice League of America one, it kind of focuses obviously on the Justice League. And the characters that you see right away at the beginning are the Crime Syndicate. Now, the Crime Syndicate is like the Justice League, an evil version of the Justice League from a different world, different universe kind of thing. And so they've come in. So imagine if Superman was a bad guy, if Batman was a bad guy, if Wonder Woman was a bad girl kind of thing, you know, all that kind of stuff. And they've come down and they've basically...
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
She could tie me up anytime. Okay. Oh, pardon me. So basically, all these characters are, you know, have been beaten down and... John Jones, Martian Manhunter, wakes up, and he kind of figures out, I don't want to give too much away, but he figures out that basically they're in a giant prison.
Oh.
And the prison is constantly changing, and it's a very interesting storyline.
Awesome.
I do like it. I like it a lot. And especially because it's got all your favorite characters and villains and everything in it.
Justice League of America, number 8, available at your local comic book shop.
Yes.
Today.
Yeah.
Check that out.
All right, and finally for our, you know, we always like to have a, well, actually, we got two more books. We got my last pick, and then, of course, we like Shecky's pick of the week as well.
Oh, it's a good one.
My pick is, it's from Image. It's called Zero.
Zero.
And it's about a kid.
High school memories, Chris?
Yeah, oh boy, is there ever.
All right.
It's about a kid named Agent Zero, Edward Zero. He's a secret agent. Mm-hmm. He works for the agency. That's all you really know right now. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of neat. They kind of flash back to, it's kind of one of those like half fiction, half nonfiction. They've somehow intertwined a fictional character into nonfiction life. So it intertwines into the uprising of the... the IRA,
right,
and how
so they put an actual historic event,
yeah,
and they weave a fictional
tale character into it, and you know the kind of training they had to go through, and you know, so here's a kid, he's just a young guy, and he has to kill somebody for the first time, and you know, becomes a secret agent, and all the kind of stuff that he has to go through, and it's a very interesting book. I actually really
sounds
enjoyed it.
Cool. Yeah. All right, and Zero number 2. is available at your local comic book shop.
Today.
Check that out.
All right. Now, Shecky. Right.
Here I am. Okay, so my pick, as usual, has no bearing on the actual literary market of any kind.
No.
Strictly aesthetic related.
Okay.
So I decided to pick up Multiple Warheads.
Oh.
There's no number on this.
Boop!
Yeah. Oh. There's no number on this, so I'm assuming it's just a one-off.
Dive!
It looks like it's an independent feature of some kind. Brandon Graham comics, I guess. I don't know if he
Brandon
illustrates.
Graham comics?
Yeah, that's the one. Okay. So there
Brandon
you go.
Brandon Graham!
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Anyway, it's all black and white, and it's kind of like little artsy strips of different kind, but I'm guessing
little Archie strips.
Artsy?
Oh, artsy.
Yeah.
Artsy.
I'm guessing it's all put into one story. It's like a dual cover. Each side is a different cover. Anyway, so the couple things that drew me towards this book.
Couple things.
Couple things. Yeah.
So there's an image on the one side. It's all on the one side. where this, it's all pointing to different parts of this girl, and all the writing is in some sort of alien or space, or I don't know what kind of language this is.
Space alien.
Yeah, but it's pointing to things like body parts. It seems like it's Operation, like you're trying to play the game of Operation.
Oh, I like that, yeah,
because you don't know what it is, but it's pointing to different things on this woman, I guess. I don't
could
know.
Never get the funny bone.
Yeah. Well, these are all funny bones, because I don't know what they say.
I know.
Well, they don't make any sense. Anyway.
Okay. Yeah.
Multiple warheads. I thought that was some
Can I take a look at the book here?
You want to touch
it? I want to touch your multiple warheads.
See, now that's the idea, right?
Right away, I thought big boobs.
There you go.
Yeah,
and that's
right.
What it
right.
is.
Right. Yeah.
Multiple warheads.
And if you start scanning through and reading,
that's what I thought.
There's girls in there just screaming sex and guys screaming sex. So
yes. Yeah, actually,
it is rated R. It is a little seedy.
There's some. Yeah. Oh my. Yeah. There.
So I think that it's an innuendo. The multiple warheads. So they're banking.
Not for kids.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I guarantee you right now, this is not for kids. I'm flipping through it, and it looks like it's different artists.
Actually, that's what I'm saying. It's like different.
It has kind of a heavy metal magazine like quality to it, anthology
thing.
With different kind of European style artists. I don't think they are, but it has that feel to it. It says Downfall. It's a one shot. There have been other multiple Warhead comics out before. I've actually seen it before, but this is, I've never seen anyone.
Multiple
Warheads. I've never seen anyone like this. This is a strange looking, it looks, you know what? There's some people here that looks like they're trying to draw like Mobius, but like a really poorly version.
They end up drawing like Johnny Ryan.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Nice.
All right.
Listen, multiple Warheads.
Multiple Warheads.
Is available at your local comic book shop.
Yes.
And of course, Chris, only story.
There are a myriad of other comics out there.
A plethora. Tons.
Tons, if you will.
Lots.
Yeah.
Of comics to check out at your local shop.
Absolutely today. There. All right. You know what? Let's have a quick musical interlude here. I know what you want, Walt. I know what you want.
I know what you want. You know what I want.
Is it a spit rag?
Well, he sometimes does need that. However, I think right now, in our case, he just wants a little bit of the old Spider-Man Krantz. So let's go with the elevator.
Nothing like it.
Did you like that? That was the elevator.
You know, when I hear that, though, I think of some sort of really slow motion, drawn out, you know, someone in the doctor's office.
Yeah.
And the doctor's walking slow motion
to give him
the results of the lab test.
That's right.
Oh. And you are positive.
No.
Yeah.
I get it. All right.
I don't get that at all.
No?
You know, there's not much you do get, though.
I get that. Yeah, fair enough. All right. I get that. Yeah. When I hear that, I think elevator.
Well, that's good. You know, as you should. Yeah. As you should. It's called the elevator.
Oh, see?
Yeah, that's great.
Funny how him saying what it was called a minute ago made it. Yeah, okay.
All right, listen, let's continue on. We got mailbag up
here
next.
We go. We got mailbag, and it's a hot one, so that you guys know. This one, everyone's going to want to percolate over this.
Percolate.
But however, first.
Percolate.
Mailbag is brought to you by the resurrected Nelvana Comics. If you don't read comics yet, you may as well start off where Canadiana began.
Nice. I like
nice.
That. Now, do you have mail? Do you have mailbag, or do you want me
I got
read?
A mailbag.
Okay.
Here it is.
Okay.
Dear guys,
Mark, Shecky has a mailbag.
He really does. Yeah. I'm so glad to hear it.
Yes.
Huh.
Good for you.
All right. So
we're gonna
break that word into two words, and then all of a sudden it's funny.
That's all right. Right.
So, dear guys, first off, he's on a casual level
all
here.
All right. Yeah.
All right. Dear guys, two parts.
Okay.
First off. It was referred to last week that there is a bitter society. Hey, I'm not a society. Second, all this talk about crowdfunding. What the heck is a Kickstarter? Your one and only John Bitterman.
Oh, Johnny! Hey, it's so nice of Johnny to write to us.
Yeah, you could tell the tone already.
Yeah, I know.
You
know, I
like dear
how,
guys.
I like how he just didn't say dear Walt and Chris. Dear guys.
Yeah. Well, he's just blunt. He's, you know.
Well, he's like.
Well, he's bitter.
He's bitter. Well, he is bitter.
Mm-hmm. What was the question?
Okay, well, first of all, two-parter. He said, apparently, we referred to him as being part of the Bitterman Society.
Bitterman Society.
And he's saying he's not a society.
Oh.
So does that mean he doesn't accept new applicants?
He is an
it's
island
a closed,
unto himself.
Closed society.
I'm just going to have to prove myself to him.
Yeah, you know what? It's hard to get in that society. Yeah, you really got to be bitter.
I think so.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, second part.
Oh, okay. So was we answered his first part?
Well, it wasn't. I think the first part wasn't really a question.
It was
more of a statement.
I think he's a bitterly confused man about the whole question process. But anyway.
That's the other society, the bitterly confused society.
All right. So secondly. Crowdfunding.
Crowdfunding, yes. He asked about Kickstarter.
Well, Kickstarter, Indiegogo, like the I'm guessing he's talking about both. He doesn't really have a clue about either.
We mentioned how there was the Novana had Hope Nicholson had was successful.
And Rachel
was they were successful in doing the Kickstarter for the Novana launch.
Yeah, the reprints of the
reprints
old
Novanas, old Novana, which was the first Canadian heroine, actually the very first heroine, really, because it predates Wonder Woman.
Yeah, you know what? We don't know whether Novana predates Hawk Girl or not.
Oh, right. Okay, right.
So it's going to be right around the same time.
Okay.
Wait, Hawk Girl?
Hawk Girl, not Hawk Girl.
Oh, okay.
Hawk Girl was a hot girl.
Yes, that's true.
Oh, yeah.
So basically Kickstarter and Indiegogo, they're what they call crowdfunding. And I guess they're basically now, you know probably more about this than I do. Can you explain it?
I've had some experience with it. Yeah, absolutely. So, for instance, our show, George Romero's Night of Living Dead Live, the first run back in the spring, we had an Indiegogo that started a year ago pretty much this month. So last Halloween.
Right.
And so essentially what you do is, you can just take any project you want. You know, usually it's independent level, but sometimes it's massive, like that Veronica Mars movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they ask for $4 million or $5 million,
and they got it. Yep.
Yeah, but anyway, so whatever level you are, you know, filmmakers, you know, want $5,000 to shoot a little small independent short. You just you essentially come up with your marketing plan. You put up on the Indiegogo or Kickstarter. You know, this is our film. This is what we're talking about. If you have cast members who are already going to be part of it, you say, you know, this is our cast, is everything.
Yep.
But budget requirements, you know, to film in downtown Toronto, we're going to have to rent this. You know, you just give them not like so much a sob story, but you give them your plan of action. So people see it and they really want to help you out.
Right.
And what you do is you give them different value incentives. So if you donate, you know, $5, you'll get a credit at the end of the film. If you donate $20, you'll get one of their T-shirts that they also do for promotions,
So you get something out of it.
So you're really thinking, you know, in terms of you're buying, like, merchandise or you're buying perks.
Yeah.
But then you're also, you know, helping them exist because without the crowd, then there would be no project sort of idea.
Yeah.
Right?
A lot of independent artists have done this to get started on new comics where they don't have the money to publish a run of 500 or 2,000 comics. Mm-hmm. So they say, hey, look, I'm doing this comic and you know what? If you give me, and then, like you said, there's different levels. If you give me $20, I'll give you a signed comic. If you give me $500, I'll give you a free piece of artwork.
And you look at some people who say, you know what, the project's good or something.
Free piece of what?
Artwork.
Okay. Yeah.
Artwork.
And you know what? You would think with some of these ones with you know, notable B-list celebrities or something.
Yeah.
Like, that's something that you want signed. And if you get a cast poster, you know, for $40 or something, it's like you might just want that poster.
Yeah.
They're limiting it to 50 that are ever going to be done like this.
Yep.
It's a limited edition poster. You can't get it any other way anyway. So you may as well, if you want the poster, you're going to buy it and you just happen to be funding the project.
No, I like it. I like it.
You know,
it.
So it's very good. The difference, though, Indiegogo, you get whatever, like, you set goals for each one, so say $50,000.
Right.
With Indiegogo, if you only get 40, you still get to keep what you got. Anything above and beyond, I think you also get to keep.
Oh, okay.
Kickstarter, you have to reach your minimum, though. So you want to set a very realistic amount.
Because
if you don't get it, I think...
You give it back?
Yeah, I think it all reverts and it goes back.
Well, I know that Kickstarter wasn't available in Canada until fairly recently.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say last couple months kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was only done in the United States. And basically Indiegogo was the big one for Canada.
Right.
But now Kickstarter's coming around in Canada as well. So
yeah, it may have been something to do with that. You have to have a minimum or I don't know what. It was a law-related thing. It was a stipulation.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's fixed. And you know what? A lot of independent artists, filmmakers, they all benefit from it. So it's kind of a good win-win, help your fellow brethren out.
Yep. No, I like it. I like it a lot. All right, listen.
So hopefully that answers Bitterman.
I forgot
question.
That was part of the question. Yeah,
it's all about Bitterman.
Yeah, so, you know what? It is all about Bitterman. Yeah, you know, from one of these times, he's going to realize that.
Yeah.
All right, listen. But thank you, John Bitterman, for calling in. Or, sorry, writing in. All right, listen. Next up, we've got industry news. Now, Shecky, do we got a sponsor for industry news?
Oh, absolutely. Right. I just email came in through the wire here. Industry news is brought to you by the Bitterman Society, a place where like-minded curmudgeons can get together and rag on the common folk, and then pretend the society doesn't exist.
If they can get in.
Yeah.
Tough society.
Mm-hmm. That is cool. Yeah. So, Chris, what's making the news?
All right. Well, just this past weekend, of course, we have the New York Comic Con, which is the big Comic Con. Now, this is like, you know, second largest comic convention in North America.
Apparently not anymore.
Apparently not anymore. At least that's what it was. So the New York Comic Con had over 130,000 attendees this year. This is up from 116 last year. Uh-huh. And so this is equal to or slightly larger than the attendance at the San Diego Con. So, of course, San Diego has been the biggest one for a number of years now, and now this one's bigger.
But I believe San Diego is a smaller town, obviously,
yes.
Right? But I think they're capped out by their convention
hall
size, right?
Well, but as far as I know, the city has actually made arrangements with the con itself in order to expand that particular hall.
Okay, but that's not going to be done for a couple of years.
Who knows? And you know what? I've said it before, and I don't like the idea, but I really think that San Diego needs to relocate to Las Vegas.
Like the whole town?
yes.
Pack everything up,
pack
guys.
Everything up.
Put it on a truck.
If anyone can pick it up, move it. It's Stan Lee. Get him in there.
This is Stan Lee. I'm moving.
Let's get the Avengers involved.
Yeah, no, I really think that the San Diego Comic Con, although it's great in name, I think it needs to move to Las Vegas because really only Las Vegas has the capacity to make it that giant
250,000.
Yeah. And why not, right?
Yeah.
You know, make it a 4-day con, make it a 5-day con.
Here's the thing, San Diego, New York, they're no longer comic cons per se. They are comic cons,
right?
But they're not comic cons. So, for example, the San Diego Comic Con is an event where all the industry execs, giants, the power players, the movie actors, the directors,
they all
go do their big annual press
releases.
Corporate come in and they do their press releases. Their Marvel, DC, you got that little corner over there, you know, the
that's
comics. So it's like a film festival.
Well, that's been the running joke for a number of years now. If you go to the San Diego Comic Con and if you want to avoid the crowds, go to the comic book section.
Nice.
Right? Yeah. Like that's in all seriousness, which is sad.
So will there become a point when they all kind of just decide, wow, the comic section is so not relevant, do they just decide to say, hey, welcome to the San Diego, say, PopCon. The PopCon. Will they just go for the name change?
I would doubt it, but I think that's the one of the advantages that, oddly enough, that Fan Expo has, is that they call it Fan Expo, there's no mention of comics in it.
Right.
So it's basically an exposition of everything that has to do with fans.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's why it's a great name.
And I believe Fan Expo, correct me if I'm wrong, is number 3.
Yes.
It's like 100. It cracked 100,000 this year.
Was it just 100? I thought it was more than 100.
Well, it cracked 100. I don't know.
Okay.
It wasn't much more. I thought it was...
Yeah. Okay, so even New York City last year was still second with the 160.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But still, hey, come on. I mean, that's big.
And that was up a lot from 80, low 80-something, right, the year before?
Yeah. But you know what's happening, though? I'm telling you, though, like these San Diego, New York, Toronto, they've capped out.
Yes.
They've matured. Yeah. They're kind of... But what's happening is, you know, you and I talked last week about Hamilton.
Yep, yep.
Niagara, how Calgary is huge.
Mm-hmm.
These things don't have to be in the big centers
to be
successful.
Yep.
Like, almost every town now, every kind of area of the country can have its own effective,
mini Comic-Con.
Popular Comic-Con that is successful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is a great, great, great thing.
For sure. And, you know, and it's better for some people because maybe they don't want to go to the big crowd ones, right? And they can still have a number of variety of retailers there where they can, you know, check things out. And there's still cosplay. People can dress up. So, Before we go into the next topic here, though, I want to talk about New York Con for a second.
Okay.
Here.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, so I was reading a little bit more about this, and they said that they sold roughly, it was more obviously than last year, but they still sold a similar number. Uh-huh. And yet it seemed to be less crowded than before. And apparently they had a big problem with counterfeiting tickets. Mm. So how big are these conventions that people are counterfeiting tickets in order to get in?
Yeah. Now, I don't know.
Oh, they're counterfeiting to sell, probably. Yeah.
What's the cost?
Yeah.
What, $40 for the 50 for the weekend, maybe?
It's got to be more than that.
60,
it's probably like 80.
Right, okay.
I would think for like 25 or 30 bucks a day.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. And then so probably $80 for the weekend or the 3 days?
4 days.
4 days. Oh, yeah. It's easily 80 then for 4 days. It's more than that for...
Yeah, so that makes sense, right? If they can sell them for 50.
Sure. Yeah. Even 40. It's half price.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
So what? Well,
they said that they had the exact same number of ticketed people per day as last year, but if you looked at the common spaces, they were 40% less congested.
Whoa, that much?
Yeah. So that means that they had 40% more people in the show that obviously got in for free or for a lesser amount, right?
Hmm.
Which I think it's kind of funny that these comic conventions have gotten to the point where they're counterfeiting tickets to get in. These aren't like, you know, NHL games or, you know, hockey games or.
Why you gotta bring that up?
Oh, sorry. Walt, did you have a problem with that once?
Well, we were at New York Comic Con a few years ago, and I, you know, me being kind of the guy that knows hockey and stuff like this, I go, guys, don't worry, I'll go get us tickets to the Ranger game.
But so, I only want to buy them from scalpers.
Yeah. So I went and bought them off a good friend of mine, a scalper, and we all walked up to the took it off, whatever the guy taking the tickets, and he goes, oh, sorry, boys,
these are counterfeit.
Ah, one hurt.
Yeah. I think we went to, didn't we go to a comedy night instead?
We laughed.
It was fun. It was good. Laugh Factory. Yeah, it was fun. It was a good night. Good night. Yeah. Listen, all right, let's keep on going.
I love
here.
How you've forgiven me about this.
Of course.
Yeah,
of course.
I could tell.
Well, I think Chris is applying on air for the Bitterman Society over
here.
What's going on there?
No, listen. All right, let's talk more about comics here, guys.
Yep.
And then we'll cut to a musical interlude after this. Marvel is announcing a new Captain Marvel series. Now, we're going to talk more about more series coming out later on. But Marvel is going to be talking about a new Captain Marvel series. And, you know, so basically we're not too sure if it's going to be – I mean, it probably will be Carol Danvers.
Yeah.
And
Ms. Marvel,
Ms. Marvel
turned into Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel. Wow. And I'm sure they're going to try to tie it into this Guardians of the Galaxy type thing because that's going to be the new big movie coming up soon.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of books being mentioned here. You know what? Let's before we go on to those though, let's have a quick musical interlude and we'll continue on with talking about some of the announcements at the New York
Comic-Con.
You know, because you demanded it, Walt. Let's go to let's have Kingpin Chase. Like that? That was more upbeat than last one.
I love it.
All right.
That's good.
Listen, all right, let's continue on with industry news. Shecky, you got a sponsor for us?
Here we go. Industry News Part 2 brought to you by The Battle of the Comic Cons, where the San Diego and New York Con CEOs are each given a superpower and thrown into the ring together for a fight to the death.
Nice. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Only one can come out on top, and then maybe they can, you know, combine both. They'll pick up the New York one, pick up the San Diego one, and fly to Vegas with it.
Nice.
You know, Stan Lee on one side.
Two men enter, one man leaves.
Yep.
I like it. All right. Let's keep on talking about what happened on New York Comic Con this last weekend. There's a few different things I want to talk about here. Very briefly, Marvel's going to be ending the Fantastic Four and FF in January.
Say it ain't so.
It is true. One of the biggest mysteries at the New York Comic Con was whatever happened to the announcement that James Robinson and Leonard Kirk were going to be taking over Fantastic Four in February. Basically, they have said that announced that it's an Inhumanity panel that Fantastic Four and Matt Fraction and Mike Allred was going to be canceled with issue number 16. And basically, now there's going to be there's no mention of the Robinson and Kirk taking over the Fantastic Four. However,
just yet.
But I'm sure that the
I think Robinson tweeted that they wanted to announce it at a separate time.
Yeah, as it says here in the memo, it says it appears likely that the Fantastic Four will return in February with a new issue number 1 written by Robinson and drawn by Leonard Kirk.
Our good friend Leonard Kirk.
Great guy.
A local kid.
Yeah.
I like that kid. He's a good kid.
I like that good kid there.
He's a local kid. He's a great artist, and I'm glad Leonard got this job.
Yeah, no, he's a great artist.
He owes me money.
Better not get canceled. He owes you money.
All right, listen, I want to talk about one more thing here before we get into the Walking Dead issue. Archie. Now, Archie last week, Archie had their new, what was it called now? Jeez, I can't remember. Afterlife with Archie. Thank you very much. Great book, by the way. Did you get a chance to read that? Oh, fantastic book.
Oh, yeah?
Highly recommend it. It is not a kid's comic, by the way. Not a kid's comic. It is an adult Archie comic.
Oh, but has sex in it, Chris?
No sex. Sexy in some points,
right.
But no sex. A little bit of gore and horrific.
Horrific.
Horrific. Listen, but Archie is making more news. They got all kinds of things going on. There's going to be a new cartoon featuring Archie with little kids, and there's going to be a video game for the iPad and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. But the big news is there's a new title for Archie called Farewell, Betty and Veronica.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about, Chris?
Farewell, Betty and Veronica. And
no, they're not killing off Betty and Veronica.
You know,
they?
No.
Maybe they're just going on vacation.
However.
Yeah.
Huh. There's going to be.
They turn lesbian.
I think what's going to be happening.
Whoa.
They're going to get rid of them for a while.
Ah, they're going to get rid of them.
And there's going to be two new characters to fill the void of Betty and Veronica. They haven't actually said.
That's dumb.
The two new characters are female, and looks like there's going to be new Archie stuff going on, right? So they did say it's farewell Betty and Veronica, but I can't imagine they're actually going to get rid of them for good.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Right? That's hold on.
Hold on. Go ahead.
Someone hold on.
No, you go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay.
I forgot what I was going to say.
Okay. They've done this in comics before. Superman died, right? There's all kinds of things that happen. They come back. I think that this is going to be one of those type of things where they might get rid of him for a little while.
Well, sounds like a publicity stunt to me. But
probably is.
You know, the best thing about Archie is the Betty-Veronica love triangle.
Absolutely.
Archie. So, I mean, that's the fundamental premise of the comic.
Yes, it is. The triangle.
Right.
Absolutely. And of course, Reggie off to the side and Jughead off to the side. Yeah, absolutely.
So they're tinkering with that. I don't get it.
Well, you know what? Remember they came out with that six-issue miniseries where Archie lives in that parallel universe and he marries Betty in one series and he marries Veronica
of course,
in another. Right? It was very popular.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why not play around with the notion that maybe they don't exist? Maybe it's going to be a time thing. Maybe it's a parallel universe where...
Like a Frank Capra, what if they didn't exist?
Yes, like It's a Wonderful Life. It's a Wonderful Archie, right? Where, you know, he doesn't save some little boy at the end, and so Betty and Veronica never end up moving to Riverdale, you know, and then who knows what's going to happen. They actually end up, you know, going
somewhere
else.
Remember
the fifth of November. What? Anyway, go on. Yeah.
Remember in the 60s how Marvel was the trendsetter?
Yes.
It it grabbed things from the society at large.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
and it was the first to push the boundaries and to make changes,
drug awareness,
and all that kind
black
of stuff.
Superheroes.
Over the last 10 years.
Yep.
I would say that Archie is
by far, Archie, which is funny for the so-called kids comic.
Yeah,
Archie seems to be pushing the boundaries.
Same old comic.
Yeah.
And recently though, they've been the ones with you know, the Helen Keller covers. Kevin Keller cover.
Well, that'd be something too.
That'd be a really interesting comic. The Helen Keller covers.
The Kevin Keller stuff. Obviously the wedding thing.
Yeah,
and they've been pushing boundaries. It's good.
Really,
I like it.
And just very quickly here, I know we got to keep on going here. Archie will be coming to a theater near you soon. There's
going to be
an Archie movie coming out. And it's going to be directed by Jason Moore, who previously worked on the musical Pitch Perfect. So I bet it's going to be a... Pitch Perfect.
Pitch Perfect.
Right. It's probably going to be a Glee-type musical.
Hey, I got a quick aside.
Yeah.
So, like, 2 years ago. No, maybe three.
Okay.
I got some sort of call because, I like old comic books. I had a line on a Pep 22, which is
first appearance of Archie,
right? And 3.5.
Okay, so when you say 3.5, just for our listeners,
the grading system
is 3.5 out of 10. So it's kind of like not great.
Yeah, and I'm not going to go into what the guy offered it to me for, but I said, nuts, an idiot, what are you, stupid?
Yeah,
like who would pay that for
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, like, I'm kicking myself for that.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. Like, Archie is just so good.
You know, it's
the most important non-superhero character ever developed in comics.
Yeah. You know what? So I was flipping through, because this is what guys like me do.
Right.
I was flipping through an old...
Oh, boy, this is a PG show.
Yeah, no, don't you worry. I was flipping through an old price guide from the 80s. And this old price guide had, you know, some of the most expensive comics at that time. And I remember Richie Rich was in that echelon.
Right.
It wasn't like the number one, obviously, or anything, but it was up there. Richie Rich is nowhere near that echelon anymore.
And
Archie still is.
And he's heading toward top 10.
Yeah, absolutely.
Top 22 is going to be a top 10 comic in terms of overall value.
Yeah.
Soon.
And you know what's funny is that, remember years ago... So I don't mean to keep on bringing up Big B, but remember years ago somebody brought in a boatload of Archie digests, and at first we didn't think they were worth any money.
Yeah, we paid the guy a quarter each.
Yeah, but then
put them on eBay,
and then they're selling like for
$100.
It was because they were
early,
early
issues. And the guy
came
back and goes, "Hey, I noticed my books were selling for $100. Humming a.
Yeah, but we didn't know.
We said it straight with them, but
yeah, we gave more money.
Yeah.
But it was one of those things where you know I didn't realize the popularity of Archie collectors out there.
Yeah.
And it's huge. It really is huge. Still.
Everything is Archie.
Everything's Archie. Ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum. All right, listen. What are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about Walking Dead. Walking Dead.
Walking Dead.
This last Sunday night was the premiere of season 4 of Walking Dead. And of course, it did phenomenally well.
Phenomenal.
Phenomena. Do.
Phenomena.
So it had, of course, this is what's funny is that this is by AMC. Some nobody, no nothing, you know.
They made good cars back in the 70s.
The Pacer?
Pacer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
I shouldn't say no nothing, but they've been around for a long time, obviously. It was a Turner type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, but really, now that they've got these great shows like Breaking Bad and, you know, such and such, Walking Dead, you know, has...
They're almost like the Image comics of TV.
Yeah, they really are. They really are.
Kind of putting out the cool stuff.
Yeah,
right?
Them and HBO.
Mm-hmm.
So last year's season finale of Walking Dead had 12.4 million people watching it.
Mm.
This year, they had 16.1 million people watching its initial broadcast last Sunday night. So 16 million people around the world, if not North America, were watching this. So it was up 32% from last year.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Wow. It's just amazing how it keeps growing and growing and growing.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Wow.
So, doing very, very well.
Now, like, is it not like the top rated show or something like that within the demographic or something?
I read
that somewhere. Young people.
It has a 6.4 rating in the 18 to 49 demographic, which probably like number one, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's also got, you know, Breaking Bad had an audience of 10 million and a 5.3 rating. So, you know, it's up there. It's beating Breaking Bad, which again has an awesome demographic.
It's
a great show, you know what, and I watched the first episode. I don't want to give anything away for those that haven't watched it, they've put it on their PVR. The quality of the show, mm-hmm. the production quality talking about, is amazingly better than last year. I mean, it was good last year. Season one was great. Season uh-huh. two sucked, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
Season two was good, and this first episode so far of season four has been awesome, I gotta say. Lots of zombies, lots of killing.
Now, you've watched all of them.
I've watched all of them.
Does the thing have more room? Does it have room to grow?
Yeah, you know, like, what? It does, because a number of different characters. It's a character-based show. It's not like, it doesn't have a sole action hero star kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's a character-based show, and there's lots of ways in which the story can go. It can spread out, and you can find different people, different characters all over that are sort of surviving in this now zombie universe, right?
So 8 years, no problem.
Yeah, absolutely no problem.
It gives you so much opportunity just to branch off and do whatever you want, right? I mean, whereas any other story that's limited by its cast, I mean, like, that's all that you care about. But this is a survival show that's really dramatic, you know, drama enforced, drama based. So you can find anyone else in the wreckage and give them their sob story,
exactly,
and then, you know,
will
feature them.
Will there be a spin-off show, do you think?
I would say yes. Yeah. I think they've already announced something to that effect, that there's going to be a spin-off show. I don't know. Did they? Yeah. I don't remember what it was called or what they've said.
They didn't say any new names about it, just that it would be completely
Yeah,
it was going to follow people that were not in the show at all before or something.
And they're going to, basically what's going to happen is they're going to follow characters that were in the same area as the characters that we've already seen, but we never saw them, kind of thing. We're going to see what happened to them. In the first episode, Rick Grimes wakes up in a hospital. Maybe somebody else wakes up in that same hospital, kind of thing.
So this is going to be a way for them to save money on budget and go back to the farmhouse for another 13 seasons or something, and they'll just be there.
I mean, people love it. Why not?
I don't know. All right, listen. One more thing about news for New York. I forgot to mention something about New York Comic Con. I want to talk about very quickly here. Last week we had one of our in mailbag. We had Keith from Fort Erie was talking about Gold Key Magnus Robot Fighter comics.
I remember it.
So New York Comic Con has announced. Well, Dynamite has announced
that
they're going to revive the Gold Key series of comics with Mark Waid and Greg Pak. Now, Mark Waid and Greg Pak, those are two strong writers in the comic industry, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, Mark Waid, Daredevil, Greg Pak on the Hulk, and of course, myriad of other comics, but those are the big ones that they've done. Now, starting in February of 2014, they're going to be launching four new series based on the old Gold Key characters. Turok Dinosaur Hunter. You know what's funny about Turok Dinosaur Hunter?
What?
I've never understood the appeal to that character, and it's something that it's one of the strongest characters that has been revived, yet back in the day it was not a strong character. Turok was one of the lesser comics back in the Gold Key series.
Well, here's the thing. What happened with Turok was published by Dell.
Right.
And Dell was not synonymous with hero character. It was one of the very few Dell properties that Dell created.
Right, okay.
Dell was good at licensing.
Right.
Dell reprinted Disney stuff, movies,
and
you know, all that kind of stuff. So, and then for some reason, Dell created this character called Turok,
right,
and he was kind of popular, but he never really belonged at Dell.
Right,
that was a weird thing. He never belonged at Dell.
But then,
I think that hurt him.
But then, years later, this is what I don't understand. Years later, out of all the characters from that Gold Key / Dell era, Turok seems to be one of the ones that survived. There was a Turok Dinosaur Hunter video game.
Yeah. Oh, it was big in video games.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. There's all kinds of Turok stuff that happened.
That revival, the Valiant...
Acclaim was
part
of
that. Revival of the 90s. Turok was one of the biggest sellers.
Yeah. I just don't get it. Anyways, sorry.
You know what, though? Turok, though, the premise of Turok is awesome.
Yes.
Timeless.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay?
Yeah.
And, I mean, really kind of innovative in for that day because... The main character was a Native American,
yep.
And that was our hero.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And this
is
an era and an age where, you know, John Wayne was shooting Indians.
Right. Yes.
It was
very true.
Yeah.
Of its time. Sorry about the tangent there. So, anyways, they're going to revive Turok, Dinosaur Hunter, Solar, Man of the Atom, which was, mm-hmm. was that the first sort of big Gold Key comic?
Yeah, Solar, Man.
Solar.
Yeah.
And then Magnus Robot Fighter and The Occult Files of Dr. Spectre, which I always loved those because they had great covers, great horror covers.
Yeah.
Remember, the article goes on to talk about the fact that it was revived in 1992 and originally came out in the 50s and 60s, but it does say that, you know, Dynamite has hired top superhero writers like Greg Pak, who was on Action Comics, Daredevil was on Mark Waid, and Marvel.
Daredevil
writer...
was on Mark Waid, apparently. Well,
Mark Waid was on.
That makes it even worse. That
Daredevil.
Doesn't make
which
it
one's
better.
On top, Chris?
Waid,
which one's on top?
Mark Waid was writing Daredevil.
Right.
Oh boy, Marvel writer Fred Van Lent and upcoming writer Frank Barbieri. Listen, let's have. I gotta. After that, I gotta have a quick musical interlude here. Let's go with the old helicopter chase from Spider-Man.
Chris, the helicopter chase.
Did you like that one?
That was exciting.
Yes.
Got my heart racing.
I can see that.
We haven't played that one in a while.
No, we have not.
That's
we have
a
not.
Good
really?
Clue.
I thought I was in an elevator.
Hey-o.
All right, listen. We have to continue on with industry news. Shecky, are there any more sponsors? Has anybody paid us yet?
God, I'm tapped out over
tapped
here.
Out.
Hold on.
All right.
Let me check the Twitter feed.
All right.
Nah, just the birds chirping. No,
nothing,
that's it.
Nothing going on. All right.
Yeah.
Let's, you know.
There should be another multimedia one, like, you know, Twitter. There should be one called Crickets.
Crickets. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. We have that lots of times.
There's one called Tumblr, but it's just a bunch of acrobats, I think. I don't know. I don't know what that's all about.
Okay.
Too many leotards.
All right. Listen, let's continue on here. Just some more news coming out of the New York City Comic Con.
New York City Comic Con.
Lots of news.
It's like a groundswell.
It really
news.
Is. You know what? Next week we'll have nothing to talk about.
Hey, right. You know who was there? You know who was like one of the headlining horror gurus?
Who?
Yours and my favorite boy there, Walt, Ricky Romero there.
Was Ricky Romero there?
Well, his brother was there. George Romero was there.
His brother George Romero was there?
Yeah, George Romero was there, and he was... You know, I thought he was out of the whole con circuit. I thought for whatever, whether it's health related or just, you know, he's 73. He doesn't need to keep, you know, making travel plans to go to these things. He's from Toronto now, right?
Yeah.
But he went. And I don't know if it was a previous contract obligation or what it was, but He went, and as far as I know, he had a good time and everything. He's nice. Back in Toronto now for our big VIP Q&A shows
that.
This Friday and Saturday, though. But I know that he went there, and so that's a neat little thing. I would have went with him, but he didn't offer me to travel with
him. I like that plug for Night of the Living Dead.
That's,
Live,
of course, at the Pass Marais Theater
in Toronto.
In Toronto.
Yeah. Ryerson
at the Ryerson Avenue.
Oh,
near the OCA.
It's near a lot of things.
Okay, yeah.
All right, listen. We got two more things we've got to talk about before the end of the show.
Couple things.
At least two things. Now, I don't know if you've noticed. I know you're not all abuzz.
I don't notice much.
In the Marvel Universe, but recently they have come out with a number of ads, teaser ads, I'll call it, where they just say one word, and then it says the creators that are going to be working on these new books.
Like,
for example, there was Rad, right?
Rad,
and then it just had the names. Another one was, I think it was Patriot or something like that.
Patriot.
Yeah, there was one that was the end.
There was Defend. It was just Defend, and then Defend. Anyways, we're finding out now very slowly what all these one-word teasers were all about.
Mm-hmm.
So we're finding out that Rad was, in fact, part of the new Norrin Rad, a.k.a. also known as the Silver Surfer. Apparently, he's getting his new book.
Right.
Starting soon. There's going to be a new number. There's a bunch of new number ones from Marvel coming. So if you're
more number ones.
Right. So if you're a fan of Silver Surfer is getting his own book again.
And who's not a fan of Silver Surfer?
But
who's not a fan of number ones?
Yeah.
Well, that is
number
true.
One.
Yeah. Oh. But here's the big kicker to this one.
Here's the kicker.
Is that
here's the kicker.
Dan Slott and Mike Allred is the creative team. So Dan Slott, who's currently penning like 40 million books for Spider-Man,
yeah.
Right. He even with his enormous workload, he has agreed because he loves Silver Surfer. He's agreed to carry
on. You are right, Chris. Dan Slott has an enormous workload.
He really does. He really does.
You know, I can see the Silver Surfer.
That's going to be the hardest word for you to say.
I know. I can see him, like with Dan Slott writing it,
doing
wisecracks to Galactus.
Yeah, you know what? Absolutely. But you know what? I think he has this creative mind that will actually be really, really good for Silver.
You think so?
I think so.
I don't know.
Some people are disagreeing. I think he is. You know what? Let's not forget that Dan Slott, before he was doing Spider-Man, wrote the Arkham Asylum Batman comic, where he came up with characters like Humpty Dumpty,
who would
kill people and then put them back together again.
Nice.
So creative people like that can come up with cosmic storylines like Silver Surfer.
Okay.
All
listen,
right.
The talented man, so I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, and I look forward to
and
his
of course it's Mike Allred. Mike Allred from Madman and a myriad of other comic characters.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. So all right. Also,
so Silver Surfer is coming out with a new number
one. That's not the only one. Silver Surfer, Ghost Rider, and the Iron Patriot are all getting new number ones.
Okay, Ghost Rider. Isn't that come and gone?
You know what? Poor Ghost Rider. That's the boat going through.
The ship sailing.
Is that what that was?
Listen.
Didn't he miss the boat a long time ago?
Ghost Rider is one of those characters where...
That sucks?
No, he doesn't suck. He comes and goes, right?
Comes and goes?
He needs to have the right writer for it because he came out in the 90s and it was actually good for the first five issues.
Did Bill Cage kill Ghost Rider?
Nicholas Cage?
Nick Cage, I mean. He killed Ghost Rider.
Kind of did. And, of course, there's the Iron Patriot, which, you know, I got to say, I'm not looking forward to that because I'm getting a little tired of Iron anything.
I
love Iron Man, but too much Iron Man,
Wait
Iron
a minute.
Patriot,
Iron
all that
Patriot
stuff.
Is like Iron Man's buddy, right?
Yeah, it's like the War Machine, but they renamed him Iron Patriot.
Iron Patriot,
That's right. So, anyways, lots of stuff going on there.
So, wait, he has his own comic book coming out?
Yes.
Iron Patriot
does.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Who's going to read that? I don't know.
Iron Man fans?
Probably. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right.
The creative team is going to be Alice Cott and Gary Brown. And Overdrive was the teaser for Ghost Rider. And that's Philippe Smith and Trad Moore.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right,
out of those, how many?
Three.
Which one's going to work?
Silver Surfer. Oh,
yeah?
And our producer keeps on saying the Punisher's coming in, too.
Hey, I'm not saying these things.
Sorry.
I wouldn't comment on this drabble.
Engineer. saying that there's a Punisher one coming in too. I'm so still going to say that Ghost Rider is
you're
there, sorry,
that
Silver
the,
Surfer.
Yeah, you're
is the
saying
one.
That the Surfer is going
to
be the one
that that's
that
the
goes
one
the
to,
furthest.
To bet on. Yeah.
Right. All right. All right.
Listen, we got to talk about very quickly before the end of the show here. Alan Moore.
Alan Moore.
Alan Moore. Crazy old coot who lives in Northamptonshire or somewhere or something like that over in the UK.
Did he star in The Hobbit?
He probably could have. I think he was the one that said, "No shall not pass."
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Alan Moore, of course, of if you've ever read a comic, you should know who Alan Moore is. He's I just know that by saying that, that's going to irk John Bitterman.
Oh, it is.
Because now he's going to say, "Oh, well,
who the hell is Alan Moore?"
Who's Alan Moore?
Yeah, as if all the sponsors and stuff didn't irk him already.
Okay,
yeah.
So Alan Moore was the creator of The Watchmen, V for Vendetta. Batman the Killing Joke.
Yeah.
Basically, a lot of major comic book
stuff.
Yeah. Storylines.
Right.
So before, years and years and years ago, back in the early 80s, he wrote a book called at one point it was called Marvel Man, and they changed the name to Miracle Man.
Yeah.
So basically, both Alan Moore and Neil Gaiman had written stories for this character, long lost gone because the rights for these characters were all over the place. Well, Marvel finally bought up all the rights, and they're saying that, yes, in fact, they are going to reprint these comics, and they should be coming in this January.
Okay,
so
they're reprinting them.
Reprinting them. Right.
Now,
yes.
Alan Moore, hold on. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Alan Moore is a bit of a Bitterman. Probably knows John.
Oh yeah,
right?
Probably. I think Alan Moore. I think he may be like the president.
The president of the Bitterman Society.
Headmaster. Yeah.
Not only am I the president, I'm a client.
That's right.
So he's not involved in this, do we know?
No, he's not involved at all. And in fact,
he's a Bitterman with anything that's old that is reprinted.
Well,
of his,
you know what? He doesn't. I don't think he minds the reprinting of his stuff so much. But he never. So Constantine, which came out, the movie Constantine, which came out, didn't have his name attached to him, even though he created the character.
Constantine never got a dinner.
Watchmen came out, didn't have his name attached.
Never got a dinner.
V for Vendetta didn't have his name attached.
Never got a dinner.
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen didn't have his name attached. So all kinds of movie properties have come out that he created.
Yeah.
He doesn't want any part of it. With a sign of a pen, he could have made millions of dollars. Doesn't want it. Wants nothing to do with the movie industry.
Right.
He thinks that all the stuff that he has created is specifically for the comic book industry and not meant for movies.
Wow, that guy has a problem.
So anyway, so he came out with all these books back in the day, and they were the Watch. They say it's the Watchmen before the Watchmen,
right?
Because they were stories that were told on an extremely adult level.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of amazing storylines and artwork going on there. And then, of course, back in the 80s, they didn't really reprint a lot of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so now some of those books are highly sought after.
I got it.
And they've never been reprinted in graphic novel form because the names and the rights have always been up for dispute. So now everything's going to be coming up roses for Marvel. They're coming back out in January with a new Miracle Man number one republishing from Marvel.
Wow.
Awesome. Finally getting a dinner.
Finally getting a dinner.
All right, Chris, look, I think that is all the time we have for today.
It is. And Comic Culture is produced by our young Shecky Feldstein to my left and engineered by the young buck Andrew Roebuck to my right. For comments and suggestions, please visit www.comicbookdaily.com and click on the podcast link. Scroll to the comments field and add your comments. You can also hear us podcast on comicbookdaily.com and Get the Point Radio. We need to look into if it's still called Get the Point Radio or not.
Oh, man, we blew that.
I've not done that yet. And remember, go out and support your local comic book retailer. And have yourself a wonderful day.
All right. Add my two cents. Please go out and support your local comic book shop.